Welcome to the Morning Star Baptist Church radio broadcast. My name is Stephen Calloway, and I'll be opening up the Word and bringing the message to you today. Let's pray the Lord would get the right people listening and give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Word has to say to us. I hope you're having a good day wherever you are. I'm glad the Lord knows where you are. I can't see you and I can't hear you, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows where every rock is on this planet. Every piece of dust, every piece of dirt, and every hair on your head is numbered. He knows all the stars by name. I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I know the Lord. Glad He knows me. Yeah. I saw some people that I used to hang out with today. I want you to know something. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. They hate God and it ain't getting much better for them. I don't say that to deride them or be mean. I say that because it breaks my heart. Let's go to the Word and go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to bless the text. I don't know that I'll get done with all this, but we are going to essay to get it all done. Heavenly Father, I love You. And I thank You, God, for saving me. Thank You, God, for the sweet mercy that flowed from Calvary. Thank You for the love of God. Thank You, Lord, for all You've ever done for me. Thank You for Your kindness, God. Thank You for Your gentleness. Your long-suffering, Your patience with me. God, I love You. I love You. I thank You, God, for all You've done for me. There's nobody like You. There's no greater friend. There's not contentment to be had in any other but You. Thank You, Lord. Bless the Word. God, I can't preach a lick if You won't help me. I love You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for letting me preach. Bless the Word, and pray it go forth in power and in much assurance. Wrap me up in the mantle of preaching. I love You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter 42. Cam, I'm going through the same text again. I'm sorry, buddy. But I'm not. It's good. There's a lot of help to be had in the book of Job. It is an incredible book. If you have a Scofield Bible, we're going to be on page 597 of that Scofield Bible, and I'm going to be referring to note 1. Love the Scofield Bible, and I thank God for it. Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Just a word of introduction. This is the crown. I like to refer to it as the culmination of the book of Job. All the conversations and everything that was said, all the deep conversations and hurtful things that have been said, all the despair and darkness and sadness, all the truth and everything has led up to these 6 verses. They are amazing. There's much here, but we have much ground to cover. Verse 1. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? You'll recall back to chapter 38. That's the question that God asked Job when God began His discourse with Job. That was God's question. This is Job agreeing with Him. This is Job agreeing with God. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job had been brought to a place of self-judgment. He knew that after everything that had been said, in his despair and in his darkness and in his trying to find God and not being able to find Him, he come down to the place where he said, man, I never should have opened my mouth. He said, I said things that I didn't understand. I thought I understood, but But losing my family and losing everything that I had and getting brought down to the very bottom of the barrel, I had myself revealed to me. I thought I knew a whole bunch about you, God. But I really didn't know anything. Every single Christian, every single one that's named the name of Christ has professed faith in that name. You got to come to the place where you just say, you know, I really thought I knew a lot. I really thought that I had the whole thing nailed down. I thought I had God in a box. I thought I understood the Scriptures. But now I've come to the place where I realize I don't know half of what I thought I did. That's where Job is. I've uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Again, he's repeating what God said to him in chapter 38. The man's humbled. The man is brought low. Verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. It's one thing to hear of the Lord and the majesty of God and the power and glory of God. It is another thing altogether to experience Him, to meet Him, to know Him. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I'm going to go ahead and jump to that note because we have a lot, as I've said before, we have a lot of ground to cover. The problem of which the book of Job is the profound discussion finds here its solution. Like I said before, this is the crowning of the book of Job. I know many atheist people who know this book and they hate this book. They hate it. They look at it and they can't understand why God would put a man like Job through what He put him through and then expect him to remain faithful to God. They don't understand it because they've never known Him. They've never met Him. They don't know what it's like to trust Him, to believe Him, no matter what. And I'm just of the persuasion that if you call yourself a Christian, you have to get to the place that no matter what in your life, you're just going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to come to the place where you say, come hell or high water, my God is in control of my life. He's in control of my kids. He's in control of my future. The heart of the King, it's in the Lord's hand. And He turns it whithersoever He will. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to decide that God's worth trusting. Amen. He's worth trusting. Yes. He's good. Yes. He's good in Job's catastrophe. He's good when your family's in the ground. 6 feet under. You say, Brother Stephen, how on earth can you possibly say that? You don't know what I'm going through. We're all going through something. We're all facing things. And it's certainly not my job to attack anybody and just quote Romans 8:28 and say, hey, it's all working together for your good. You know, you're just going to have to come to the place in the silence of your prayer closet, all by yourself, you're going to have to make up your mind that God is worth trusting. Yes. Just like a little child never doubts his dad, never doubts his father, looks up to him, lets himself be vulnerable with his father. You're just going to have to be like a little child, no matter what, and say, my Father loves me. He loves me. Like Lamentations 3 says, it doesn't make God happy to subvert a man in his cause. God doesn't take pleasure in hurting you. But God knows how to shape and mold and make you. If you're saved, you're the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's molding, he's shaping, he's burning, he's beating. The sparks fly upward, said the book of Job. We'll continue on. Brought into the presence of God, Job is revealed to himself. In no sense a hypocrite, but godly, and possessing a faith which all his afflictions could not shake. Job was yet self-righteous and lacking in humility. One of the causes that we can nail down, and we see it in the book of Job, and he says in the next part of the note here that chapter 29 fully discloses this. Job, it may take a while, you know, it did in Job's affliction. It took a lot of different layers of conversation, but it finally came out. Job was he was self-righteous. He was a good man. He loved God. He hated evil. He eschewed evil. Like a scared horse, he ran away from evil. He was a good man. He had a good name. Satan, and in all of his plots and all the things he wanted to do to Job, he couldn't shake his faith. Job fell down in the moment of temptation and said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he told his wife there, "Shall we not receive good and evil from the hand of the Lord?" This man was a righteous man. He was a godly man. But there were some things that God was going to have to reveal to him in the fires of the afflictions of his life. It's no different for us. It's no different for you. The problems in your life are a direct result of the planning and hand of God. And somehow your free will and the sovereignty of God tie right together. You make those choices. You take those turns in your life. And yet the sovereign hand of God is somehow, He's working that perfect will in there. And there He is painting your life into that portrait, into what He wants it to be for His glory. And He faithfully afflicts His people. He faithfully sends hardship and impossible circumstances in your life so that you will have yourself revealed to you. You need to see what you are, and sometimes it's that place of affliction. It's the only way you're going to be able to see that person that's buried deep in the confines of your heart, in the deep wells of who you are. You need to have manifested unto you those things that are not perfect, those things that are not good. The book of Hebrews exhorts us not to turn that which is lame out of the way, but rather let it be healed. You can turn out of the way and refuse God's treatment for you. You can turn out of the way and get out of the will of God and refuse those hard places. Hebrews says, no, you got to embrace the hard places. You got to trust God in the hard places. And though you fall and though you fail and though sometimes you wonder if God really loves you, understand that even if God isn't speaking to you, even if His voice isn't loud and clear, you can't quite discern what He's doing. Because of Jesus Christ, He has accepted you. He loves you. He's given Himself for you. And that hard place is working together for your good. He wouldn't do it to you if there was some other way. I believe that with all my heart. Because I know Him. I know His gentleness. He is sweet, my friend. He is severe. He is serious. He is absolutely deadly serious about His people obeying Him. But hallelujah, aren't you glad He's patient and He bears long with us and He teaches us and He goes to great lengths to try and show us what He's trying to show us. Aren't you glad that He is who He is? Man, how many times had He just been done? How many times had He just said, You're just not going to ever understand. I'm done. But He's never said that to me. He'll never say that to you. He promised. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And my children, oh, if they went sideways, it'd break their daddy's heart. But I want you to know there's nothing that could separate me from either one of my sons. There's nothing in this world that could keep me from them. And if I feel that way, a fallible man, oh, and if I feel that way about my sons, how much more the Lord of glory with His own children? Thank God. Yeah. I'm going to rejoice in that. But in the presence of God, He anticipates, as it were, the experience of Paul in Philippians 3, 4 through 9. And the problem is solved. We won't go there for the sake of time. In the presence of God, there is one thing that's needful. There's one thing that I need more than anything in this whole entire world. And it has nothing to do with people. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with the Lord of glory coming down and setting up that weighty presence of God that the old men of God spake about, that the old men of God like Percy Ray experienced, God coming down and all of God's people laying low at the feet of God and all the people of God weeping and repenting and laying their all down at the feet of God. There is one thing that we need. We may have the church uniform perfect, and we may use the right Bible. We may be gun barrels trained, but if the God of glory doesn't come and set down over top of His people, there will be nothing done. It was in the presence of God that Job knew what he was. He was humbled in the presence of God. And I promise you that he was never the same. When you have been in the presence of God, you will not leave the same. Just ask Jacob. He wrestled the Lord of glory. He wrestled with none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ changed His name. He was a saved man before that, but I want you to know, today, that very day, that man changed. And it was here in the presence of God when that F5 tornado rolled up and started asking him questions. Job, were you there when I laid the foundation of the world? Were you there when the sons of God shouted for joy when I laid the foundation thereof? Job, do you feed the lions? Do you know anything of Behemoth and Leviathan? Do you know anything of the dinosaurs? Do you know how the ocean waves are stayed and how I control them and where I put the hail? And how I control the wind? Do you know how I run the universe, Job? There's one thing that I need today. I need the Lord of glory to show up, to humble me in His presence. Remind me what I am. I am a speck of dirt that the Lord of glory breathed the breath of life into. Who am I to question Him? No matter what happens in my life. God never explained to Job why all those things happened to him. It all came down to one question. With one so great a power, like me, Job. With one, I spake the universe into existence, down at the molecular level. I run this world when you are fast asleep. I know you're down sitting and you're uprising. Am I worthy of your trust? Do you trust me, Job? Do you trust Him? The godly are afflicted that they may be brought to self-knowledge and self-judgment. Such afflictions are not penal for their sins, but remedial and purifying. The God of glory is not punishing you in that hard place for your sins. He punished them in Christ. The afflictions that you experience are for your profit, says the book of Hebrews. That chastening hand of God, that's what we have. That's what we receive. But aren't you glad? Hallelujah. That cup, Jesus Christ asked the Father if it could pass from Him. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine. And on Calvary, He took the black cup of your thought life. He took the black cup of everything you've ever done. He took the black cup of all the good things you should have done but you didn't do. And He drank it down to the dregs, to the very bottom, to the last drop. Because Christ Jesus has fully taken the blow for you, you are now on a son basis with God. And if you ask Him to forgive you of your sins and you are honest with God and you confess them before Him, He will forgive you because of the fullness of Christ's work, because of the perfectness of Christ's work. He can forgive you. He can cleanse you. He can wash you with water over and over and over. You can visit that leper and get some of that clean water on you whenever you need it. He don't penalize you for your sins. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ was in darkness on Calvary so that you could be a beloved son or daughter of God. No, Job's friends had it all wrong. And that was their whole launching pad, it would seem. Job, you had to have been doing something wrong. Does the Almighty afflict the righteous, Job? That was their accusation. You had to have been doing something wrong. But that's not how God deals with His people. I got 5 minutes. Afflictions are remedial and purifying. They are designed. The hard places of your life are designed to cleanse you. They are designed to deep clean you, like bleach to a white garment that's been stained. The hard places for the Christian, thank God there's enough grace to get through every one of them. And every time you go to Jesus Christ, there's love and fellowship divine. The book of Job affords a sublime illustration of the truth announced in 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 11. Listen closely. I told a young man this today. I said, if you'll humble yourself now, you can save yourself a lot of time. That's 1 Corinthians 11, 31 and 32. A.W. Tozer, to paraphrase, he said, if the people of God would get serious about holiness, they would get serious about purifying themselves. They could save themselves a lot of time and a lot of pain. But you're going to have to deliberately humble yourself. Sometimes for longer periods of time, you're going to have to think. It takes work. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 11 has got to tell us. And we'll be closing up here. Listen closely. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That is what I just exhorted you to be doing every day of your life. Now, it's not healthy to be looking in all the time. There are people who do this so much that they're depressed, they're broken down, they have no joy in their Christian life. Thank God you're not called to always be looking in, always be analyzing, always trying to figure out what's wrong, always checking the pulse, always... No. Brethren, we are called to peace. We're not called to that kind of intensity of introspection, but we are called. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We ought to be deadly honest with ourselves. We are promised right here that if we will be dead serious and judge ourselves, that God won't judge us. That God will not chasten us. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The world's not condemned, the believer is not condemned with the world. The world is not chastised when they sin. They don't have a heavenly Father that chastises them when they get out of line. And it seems sometimes they have it so easy and everything just peachy for them. But it's not so. Their condemnation will be final. Summing it up, we must judge ourselves lest we be chastened of the Lord. And if we should judge ourselves and go to Him for cleansing, He won't chasten us. But we must be vigilant. Hopefully I can continue this message next time. I'm surely thankful for everyone that's set under this. God bless you. I love you. Until next time.